The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Thursday, and time to talk to Terrible Ted again. Hello, Ted Brower. How goes it?
I'm doing great. Absolutely, Jeff. Great, Jeff. How about yourself?
Not that good, but I'm still here. Thank you.
Well, the way I look at it is I decided a long time ago today that I would be doing good, so I don't let circumstances really kind of crowd me out. I kind of try to maintain a positive attitude because with everything that's going on nowadays, it's about the only thing we can control. Anyhow, the attitude that we have, because quite frankly, everything's so negative. I had a friend of mine the other day, and I talked to her, and she told me, she goes, well, this stuff is so negative. And I said, I know it is. And I said, but that doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean we have to pretend like it's not real. That's how we got to the position we're in right now, is by pretending none of it was real.
Well,
No, we did. I mean, yeah. No one wanted to talk about it. So now
you ran into the denial factor. It's just people don't want to go there. They just don't.
Well, they don't, and then we talked before on the online dating stuff. It's just you can't even believe how many people out there that are just asleep or they have idols.
I'm sure it's 97%. Is this the most recent one that I might be a little familiar with?
Oh, it's gone, and they're gone, and this was an interesting one. I'll share this with the audience because everybody kind of.
For those of you who don't know, hold on. For those of you who don't know, Ted Brower and his son Austin have a marvelous program on the network here every day, Monday through Friday. Ted is going through an almost impossible task of trying to find another friend, a companion to share life with after losing his beloved bride of 37 years. We've talked about it on the program here a number of times, and it is quite a commentary on what's left of society. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'll just give you a real quick one. We could do a whole show on this and probably have the biggest ratings we've ever had. So I started dating this girl about 3 weeks ago, really hit it off, and she's a great lady. And, you know, and then I find out, I go by her house, and she's got a dog. And, you know, and I like dogs.
Oh, no, this one. Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, no. This just gets better. And the dog urinates everywhere. It's like 7 years old. I mean, it urinates on the carpeting. It urinates on the tile.
The dog is not house trained, ladies and gentlemen. The dog is
not house trained. Well, it's okay. Sometimes it uses the pee-pee pads, but I never seen it go outside to use the bathroom.
The owner is kind enough. Right. No, she puts down wet, big absorbent diapers for the dog to urinate on and so forth. That's all right. But the dog just goes where it wants to go. That's called indulgence.
Well, yeah. No, and here's the problem. You know, it's so. I'm like whatever. So when I go over and visit her, I mean, I don't care. What I did is I started. You make sure I leave my shoes on all the time because I don't want to step in. You know, get a bunch of parasites. And so it's Just so I, but the house doesn't smell bad because she keeps it pretty clean. Of course, my nose doesn't work real well anyhow, but it's, so I don't really know. But I'm just kind of, you know, dodging the pee puddles. And so, you know, she's supposed to come by and see me this week, and she's going to tell me that she didn't have a babysitter for the dog. I've been dating for 3 weeks. I've been doing really well. It's a really nice lady and got a great family. And I told her, I said, well, the dog come here and stay on the back porch, but he can't come in the house because I don't really want to, you know, peeing in the house. We can leave some of the absorbent pee pad diapers on the back porch and, you know, can pee out there. She goes, well, no, the dog can stay with me all the time. And I'm like, but the dog's not housebroken. I can't come in the main house. And she goes, well, you know, it's what it is. It's my dog, and you have to accept my animal. I said, really, I don't.
Oh, my.
I said, you've only been dating 3 weeks. And then she goes, well, in 5 or 6 years, I'm planning on marrying you. I started laughing, and I said, shouldn't we, like, get through the first 90 days first? I'm like, you know, and she goes, well, here's how I look at it. My dog's 6 years old, and in 6 years, if I'm getting married to you for 5 years, you know, the dog has to be in your house anyhow. So if you tell me the dog can't come in your house now, then I'm calling it quits. We're breaking up. And so I asked her two more times if that's what she thought she wanted to do. She said yes. I said, so because I'm denying the dog the ability to urinate all over my house and ruin my floors, we're breaking up. And she goes, yeah. And I said, okay, that's fine. I'll find somebody else to date. And so then she calls me back that night. She goes, oh, by the way, I've changed my mind now. I can hold the dog in your house in a harness, like a little baby. And I'm like,
what?
No. And I said, no, like a little baby. And I said, wait a minute. I said, so every time I hug you, I've got to hug you and the dog.
Come on, Ted. This can't be real.
No, Jeff. This story is so unbelievable. And then I told her, I said, but I thought we were broken up anyhow. I said, I've already, you know, I thought we were done. Well, I changed my mind about that. I said, well, I haven't. I said, you already threw me under the bus for a dog once. I said, why don't we give this one like a week to chill out, make sure we, you don't even want to see each other. I said, because this dog issue is not going to go away. And here's, and let me tell you this. I know you guys are all laughing right now. I know it's funny. I got it, okay? But I mean, I can see the house, you know, the dogs would be ruining the house. Carpets everywhere would be ruined. And then I'm going
to have stains everywhere forever.
No, probably within 90 days. Whether I'm with her or not, I don't know in 90 days. So that, so I'm without the girlfriend in 90 days, but we've got urine stains everywhere. The house reeks. And so I think to myself, well, that just doesn't work. That's why I told her, I said, let's give it 90 days first. And then here's me bringing up this point today. And I want to say this, is I covered this on the show today with you guys. I didn't go into that kind of detail with the show, but I'll do it on your show tonight because I got all the other stories to talk about. But my pastor came over yesterday. Pastor Wright.
Your what?
My pastor.
Okay.
My pastor from my church, Lutheran Church.
Yeah.
And he was sitting on the back porch and we were talking and he goes, so I told him what happened. He says, so you mean you gave him the whole back porch to urinate on? I said, yeah. Yeah. He urinated all, you know, we put a pee pad out here. And he goes, she said no. Yeah, she said no. She wanted to be able to run the house. I guess urinate in the house. And he goes, this is crazy. I said, well, I know it's crazy. I said, this is why we're not seeing each other anymore. And he goes, I got to ask you a question. He goes, how's her religious life? And I said, well, she's Catholic, and I've been talking to her about the Bible. We've been doing some Bible studies with her. And, you know, he says, well, does she really worship God? And I said, well, no, she's got Buddha statues all over the back porch. And I said, I told her those are like an abomination. They're a graven image, and, you know, God really doesn't want those back there. And be like having, you know, statues of Baphomet on the back porch, right? Of course, you know, the Buddha probably wouldn't be as bad as Baphomet. But the reality is that, you know, the God doesn't like that. And he goes, well, then that means I've got the answer for the dog. And I said, what's the answer for the dog? He goes, that's her God. And I looked at him kind of funny. I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, that's her idol. Now does she pop the dog with a newspaper whenever you urinate? Well, no.
No.
Well, he says, you can't spank God. I said,
no.
And so we're having this conversation. And I said, you can't spank God? Well, you know, it's her God. And I said, so the dog, you open the front door, the dog runs away. The whole neighborhood has to look for it. You know, it won't go outside to use the bathroom on the back deck. You can't walk it. It zigzags in front of you like a Tasmanian devil trying to trip you. And so, you know, the dog is like this nightmare from H.E. Double Sticks, right? And he goes, so the dog is basically untrained, unhousebroke, un-everything, and she just adores it and does whatever it wants to do, and it runs the house and runs her. So I said, yeah, pretty much. He goes, that's her God. And I thought about it. And, you know, and I covered this on the show today. You know, we can all do that. You know, we can have bowling can be our God, or softball can be our God, or tennis can be our God, or you know, or something else. You know, we could have, you know, different
yeah,
gods.
Yeah, cell phones, TVs, cars,
and,
whatever.
I brought it up to her. I sent it to her. I said, my pastor said that the dog is your god. And, oh, boy, she got mad. And she goes, that's not true. I said, well, he thinks it is. I mean, the dog rules you. You
the
know,
god
it
is her child, Ted. The god mm-hmm. is her child. The dog is her child.
Well,
it's her baby.
Well, women do the same thing with children. And men will do the same thing with a child. They make the child the god. And they basically yeah. serve the child as if it's a god,
that's
make
right.
an idol out of that child.
That's
they ruin
right.
the marriage most of the time doing that, because once the child or their god leaves, you remember that movie King Kong? You know, when they finally captured Kong and the islanders didn't know what to do because their god was gone. Well, when the kids are their gods and the kids go off to college and get married or whatever,
yeah.
the marriage is shot because the two don't even know each other anymore because the god has been the child for the past 18 years, especially if you only have one child. And it could be anything. It could be, and the husband can have the wife as his god. The wife can have her husband as his god, rather than having the Most High God,
right.
the Great I Am, the God
no,
of you know, of Jesus Christ. That's the God, but they don't have that. So
it's a God
I
of convenience.
Thought,
it's right there.
But,
he's right.
Well,
that was a good point.
No, I know, he's right. And so then she told me last night. She goes, "Well, I would like for him to have the audacity to just say that's a group of women who own dogs." I said, "Why would he do that? They're not. They don't go to church." I said, "He's not specifically saying that all people have their gods as their dogs. He's saying that anything that's above your relationship with your husband or your boyfriend or your anything is being treated like a god if you don't have God first." And Dr. Phil said it this way, and I don't really listen to Dr. Phil because he's a little too liberal for me, but he said something interesting a few years ago, and it was sent to me. A lady was and her husband were there. They're having marital problems. They were on his TV show. And he says to the woman, he goes, "What's the most important thing in your life?" And he says, the woman goes, "My children." And he looked at her and he goes, "Wrong answer. If you're a Christian, the answer should have been God. And even if you are a Christian, it should have been God. And number two should have been your husband. And number three should be your children." He goes, "Until you get that priority straight, you'll never have a good marriage." And I thought, wow, isn't that the truth? And it is the truth. And that's what we find ourselves in here in the United States of America. We've left our first love, you know, God, we have. We've accepted the lies of the hermaphroditic group, the Kabbalist Luciferians, who want us to believe that God's a snake in a tree. We've left the truth of what the Word of God said is about honor your father and your mother. We've left the truth about train up your children in the way they should go so when they're old enough to depart from it. We've left the truth of all the things that we were taught by our forefathers who really knew what the Bible said. And we've taken this Kabbalist agenda in, starting with 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. Then with the Frankfurt School in 1933, then Gloria Steinem and the CIA and the running of the drugs and the Vatican Bank running the drugs with the CIA and all the rest of it, starting in the 50s and the 60s and 70s, to the Women's Liberation Movement, which taught them basically how to have free sex, and basically they had to go out and bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan and never let you forget you're a man commercials, and to liberate the women. And now we have women's sports in which transgender swimmers are dominating. And golfers are dominating that are pretending to be women, they're guys, and all the rest of it. And the women don't even know what to do anymore because they've been so, how should I say, inundated with women's liberation that they're afraid to stand up to a transgender swimmer who's a guy acting like a girl because it's their expression to be whatever they want to be. And we've completely liberalized the entire society to the point of nauseam. So now what we have is a situation in which the country itself has fallen apart, because we've allowed ourselves to be controlled by the Kabbalist Luciferian networks on TV who create constant division with everybody, and no one ever gets true news anymore unless you listen to the Jeff French show or the Ted Dawson Barone show. The rest of the stuff is just skewed. So I want everybody to listen to the show I did today. You can go to healthmasters.com. You can hear it there if you'd like. You know, just click on the archives for today's show, and I'm going to go into detail what we just talked about with Jeff and all the different idols and all the different things that people are involved in all of the time as far as promoting their own selfish agendas. I mean, right now, we've Paul Craig Roberts said that the Russian army is not even in Ukraine. They've only got one division there. And he said they're not even trying to win the war. So we don't even know what's really going on in the Ukraine. We don't know if it's a full-scale conflict or if it's a giant money laundering scheme. When we're playing the movie Wag the Dog, and the Kabbalist Luciferians who control Ukraine, who also control our media, ABC, CBS, NBC, and all the major media stations of the world, are just playing the game with us and telling us what's going on that's not really going on, and it's all a lie, Jeff. So that's the problem that we have. And you see, we have a situation where we want to. They tell us what they want us to believe, but where are the reporters in the field? When we have the Vietnam War, they would have reporters actually embedded with the troops, And these guys were war correspondents, and they're showing the fighting. They're showing videos of people getting shot, people getting killed. They're showing the skirmishes, and it's on national news every single night along with the body bags. We saw it in the 60s, and it created such an outrage against the Vietnam War because we saw what was going on that apparently they don't embed reporters with these guys over there in Ukraine at all because, quite frankly, I think it's all a bunch of lies. I think there's some skirmishes going over there. There's a few battles going over there. But as far as a full-blown war going on over there, what was a month ago we had heard Russia's lined up 450,000 soldiers for the last big assault. Never happened. And so
let me tell you. When you go ahead, I'll give you some insight on it.
But go ahead, Jeff.
All right. I have seen hundreds of combat videos, most of which have been released by the Russian side. Many of which of those have been released after they've been taken by the Wagner musicians, the Wagner PMC, Private Military Corporation. They are leading the fight in Bakhmut. Now, in another city up north, which is just as bad as Bakhmut, you don't hear much about. That's a Russian theater. But there is a tremendous amount of death and destruction going on there. It's huge. They don't want it to be shown here because people will say, quit sending money over there. They're losing. The Ukrainians are getting their clocks cleaned big time. But it's a slow slog. That's the Russian. That's the way they do it. They did it in World War II like that. The Wagner group is different. They are really amazing fighters. They have their own philosophy of fighting war and engagement. And I've watched this from the beginning, and it is true. They should have, could have done it differently, especially in the beginning, the Russians. They did make very serious mistakes. They thought that the Russian people there would stand up with the Russian-speaking people and say, oh, we're done with the Zelensky and the Zionists. We're done. We're going to go with the Russians. They didn't do it. They were afraid. I think mostly they were fear-driven. They didn't do it. So we have a tremendous amount of deaths over there. It's true. I've seen hundreds of dead soldiers, mostly Ukrainians, countless. And it's really happening. We're just not getting any news flow. Western media has choked it off.
We've already said over $100 billion over there, and the crazy part about and it's not ending, and it's a giant turns into giant. And we got the cross-dressing.
Get this one, Ted. Hold on. Hold your cross dressing. We have sent so much of our munitions over there, ammunition, ammo. Everything from howitzer rounds to tank rounds to rifle rounds, it will take us here in the U.S. to recover to a point where we're competent militarily with terms of ammunition, 6 years to get back to where we were. This country is being looted, and the military has turned into a panty-waist fruitcake service for many of them, not all of them. There's some good men and women in there. But we're being disarmed by the Biden-Obama Communist International Bolsheviks. They are causing us to send all of our munitions over there, much of our equipment, 6 years of around-the-clock production to get back to where we were, Ted. That's how much we've shipped over there. That's a pretty good story source I'm quoting. I can't prove but I tend to believe it.
You know what's interesting with that? I've got a friend of mine who's a full-bird colonel, and she was in top intel in the military, top source.
Yeah.
And she told me, she goes, the United States is completely and totally unprepared for war. That we are not ready whatsoever, and I don't think we're going to have a world war. I don't think we're going to have that. You think we are? I don't think we will.
I tell you right now, I don't think we have the military to repel a major invasion of this country at all. I don't think it's there. And if the story is correct, we don't have the ammunition to fight such an action of defense of our homeland. We don't. All we have is our military and its international nuclear potential.
We have one other thing too. You know, this will turn into an Afghanistan slog because there are so many patriots.
We don't have the combat.
States.
We don't have the discipline. We don't have the dedication. Fruitcakes.
But I'm not talking about the military. I'm talking about the patriots. I'm talking about the 200 million people that are heavily armed in the United States of America.
Yeah, but are they going to stand up? You think they're going to stand up?
I know 20% of them will. That's 40. Well, yeah, that's going to be 40 million people. So, I mean, so I know.
Let's hope so. That's our last chance.
I know they will. Because I know a bunch of redneck boys that ain't going down without a fight. And remember, that's what China said. You know, Japan, what Japan said, you back in the World War II, you invade the mainland of the United States, you're going to deal with every redneck in the country.
Well, we're counting on those. We're counting on those armed Americans. That's our our real last stand. That's it.
Well, no, you're right. That's what it'll turn into. It'll turn into an Afghanistan slog, in which even Russia had to leave Afghanistan, and we left Afghanistan because we figured out it was cheaper to run fentanyl than it was to run opium, and so we basically cheated. You know, that's why we left Afghanistan anyhow, because of the money. But the reality is this: you know, we have the ability to repel a major invasion. That's why they've got to come in and do everything they can again to ban assault weapons, ban weapons, decrease the ammo supplies, all the rest of it to the Patriots. And so they've got themselves into a quandary because they gave us what, 500 million guns in the United States, and you know, with a bunch of people know how to use them. And so plus we have all the retired military in the United States that haven't committed
that
suicide
many guns
yet.
In here, 500 million.
Oh yeah,
wow.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh yes. I know people that have arsenals at home. And, you know, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, full-blown, you know, which gun do we want to go to the firing range today and shoot, you know, because, you know, they got dozens of weapons. And so we've got all of these people out there that are just itching, you know, for China to try to invade us. I don't think we'll ever have an invasion, but what we're going to do is we're going to have a slow burn. Little by little, they're going to cook us in the pot until they've got us so Marxized over here, so communized over here, that we just accept it and we embrace it. And they're doing it. Remember, they're doing this financially, too. These interest rates that are going up and up and up and up and up is collapsing the industry.
It's
collapsing
the
automobile industry.
The war against
us. It's collapsing the housing industry. And see, and again, like you said, it's the great taking away the assets of the United States and asset stripping the U.S. And be very careful, guys, if you've got a bunch of money in the bank, because they can nationalize those banks for whatever they want to do and seize your money too. And so be very, very careful what you do with assets right now. Be very careful. The stock market is still, you know, ridiculously high because State Street, Vanguard, and BlackRock have circular ownership, and they buy each other's stocks and hold all the prices up. That's how they're doing it, by the way.
Musical chairs.
That's how they're keeping the stock market up. And that's why – so what they've done is they've used their computer systems and all their algorithms to buy up the market like they have, which has allowed them to keep the market inflated like it is. But now as far as the war and, you know, Ukraine – I've got a source who lived there for many, many years. Great guy. Good friend.
Right.
He told me the war is real, but it's not anywhere near like they say it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope he's right, and I hope that some of the intel we're getting is incorrect. But the reality is, why can't we embed war correspondents, or why won't Russia do that? I mean, why in the world can't we see what's going on over there? I mean, and we did the same thing in Afghanistan.
If you follow the Russian media, there are there's war news 24/7. There are a number of them, and they do a very good job reporting on this. And it's brutal over there, believe it. I've seen hundreds of videos now. Brutal.
Well, my friend who lived there, and
they don't want Americans
part.
To see it, though. They don't want. They want people to
well,
put
no,
the Ukrainian flags
see,
up, and they're go ahead.
He didn't. My friend didn't see it. He left the country when the war had already started, and he traveled all the way across the country and didn't see anything. And
well,
you look at
Bakhmut now, there's nothing left. Every city is being leveled, basically. Leveled. There's nothing left. It's bad. And yesterday's attack, this morning's actually, the Russians fired off at least 80. Many of them were hypersonic cruise missiles. And then dozens or maybe 100 drones on top of that. They hit Ukraine very hard again yesterday on its infrastructure targets, power, water, so forth. That's how they're trying
to do it.
They don't want to kill a lot of civilians.
Yeah, but you start going after infrastructure, you're going to kill the civilians as collateral damage. Anyhow, they're going to starve to death, freeze to death, and basically thirst to death. You know, so the problem when you hit infrastructure, when you have a war, somebody's got to rebuild the infrastructure. So you got to come back in and rebuild it all when it's over with.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And so,
yep.
So
a lot of money in rebuilding. Remember that, though. That's a lot of contractors going to make a lot of money.
Remember World War II? Our bombers were told not to bomb the Rockefeller, Rothschild petrochemical industries over there.
You know what else they didn't bomb? They didn't bomb the rail lines into the labor camps, the so-called concentration camps. They didn't bomb the camps. They didn't bomb the rail lines in and out because they were vital to the war effort. Ford was making trucks. World War II is unknown to most people. Unknown.
That's true.
No idea what it was. None.
Well, no, it was a giant mess. It was a big portion of World War II was just to push the Jews into Israel. That's what that was for, right after the war.
Oh yeah.
And it was a Zionist push because it was a Zionist war is what it was. and they knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, it goes back to the Balfour Declaration.
That's exactly right.
Good on that.
That's exactly right. And that's what we have to understand. But no, I hope my guy is right about what's going on over there in Ukraine. I hope your guys are wrong, and I hope that those people aren't dying like that. That's what I hope. Because the problem is
soldiers.
I would love to go over there. I would love to go over there and actually see it myself. And, you know, like when they said that Biden went into the war the other day over there, went to Ukraine, I don't believe any of that. I think it was their body double or all staged.
Probably or a green screen. Who
or
knows?
A green screen,
body
that's
double,
right. I'll send you some videos.
I'll send some, and you can look. It's really hideous. They have tremendous numbers of videos taken by drones hovering, mm-hmm. 2,000, 5,000 feet above the battle. And the artillery that's being used against the Ukrainian military, oh, my God. It's incredible. It's incessant. They're firing, what was it, 6 or 7 times as many rounds per day as the Ukrainian military is firing in reverse toward the Russians. They don't have the ammo. The Russians have unlimited ammo. They're just flattening them. Bakhmut, it's incredible. There's nothing left of it except burned out shells of buildings. The whole thing. Looks like World War II. Anyway, there's a lot going on there, in my opinion, but I'm not there to see it.
And like I said, Jeff, after you watch that movie, Wag the Dog, all right?
Yeah, I remember.
And you watch all the lies the media tells us, and it never, ever, ever ends.
Anything's possible now. When you have AI, you now have digital manipulation of all imagery. Your eyes will lie to you, not intentionally. Your mind, your ears will lie to you. I've got a video of Morgan Freeman. Look, you bet your life it was Morgan Freeman talking, looking at the camera. And it's not Morgan Freeman. It's AI. It's completely fabricated. They can do anything. They can make you see anything they want you to see, think anything they want you to think. It's not good. Let me give you an idea. Here's what they've done to our country, okay? These are headlines from today. I haven't posted them yet, half an hour. The racist, all right, that's my word, racist. The World Economic Forum says the United States must implement a one-child-only policy for all white families. You heard me?
Wow.
Right. That's the World Economic Forum. U.S. must implement a one-child policy for white families. All right, that's one headline. Here's another one. This is beyond communist insanity. The L.A. Times says white drivers of cars are polluting the air breathed by people of color. In other words, by breathing the air that blacks and Mexicans breathe, they're polluting it. This is an L.A. Times story. They're polluting the air breathed by people of color, whites. Is it war on whites here? All right, don't forget that. Here's another one, more insane. Hillary says people who identify as women are being raped by man-made climate change. People who identify as women are being raped by man-made climate change. Here's another one. Jill Biden gives the International Women of Courage Award to a male.
I saw that.
Okay? It goes on and on. The war on whites, the war on normalcy. All boundaries are being degraded and taken down. All sexualities are now okay and they're encouraged. They're just destroying our children. And I saw another 2 or 3 videos in the last week of these drag queen shows where these little 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids are being taken by their alleged parents. Who the hell would do that to a kid? I don't get it. I mean, these are not, I don't like CPS, but that's child abuse. You don't do that to a child, and they're doing it. Any of these gay pride parades, look at who's at the parade. They're all fat white women with their kids. Anyhow, it's disgusting. It's obvious what's happening here.
Well, it's like exactly what I talked about at the beginning of the show with the idols. You know, we've lost our first love in the United States. We've lost the Christian values the country was founded on. We've lost
the Christian
values that homes were built on, that families were built on. That, you know, we've lost all that. We've allowed the Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan sect to come in and completely control our media. It's like being in the Outer Limits. You know, like, you know, it's like being in the Twilight Zone. And you look back on it because, you know, you and I are, you know, we're not kids anymore. We look back on our life and our childhood. It was like this idyllic time in the United States of Norman Rockwell. And you kind of sit back and go, wow, it was really nice. You actually leave your house unlocked. You actually go across the neighborhood and go play football or baseball or softball with your neighbors or your kids next door. You don't have to worry about getting raped or being pedophiled by some weirdo or being exposed on by some guy running around the neighborhood wearing a trench coat who's a pervert. You have to worry about all that stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's like you can't even let your kids go anywhere without having to lock a key with them and making sure they have security with them, for heaven's sakes.
No, the people now, younger people now, have no idea what they've lost or what's been taken away from all of us because they didn't live it. They don't know it. All they know is their phone and their screen and their good times. And plus
the problem with these kids now going to these transgender story hour things, that they're 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, that's at a theta brainwave state. And these kids think that's normal. And so when they're 10, 12, 15, 20 years old, they may be
normalizing
transgender.
Kind of perversion you can imagine.
Well, because remember, the Kabbalists have the stake in a tree. It's their god. They call it Ein Sof. It's their idol. It's a lie. It's not real. It's a snake. It's not a god. It's a snake in a tree. It's Satan's what it is. And they call it Ein Sof, and it's an hermaphrodite. And the closest expression the human could be to that god is to be hermaphroditic, would be a transgender. And that's why they promote this agenda like they do. They promote it. It's over and over and over and over and over again. And the sad part about it is you sit back and you go, how in the world could this happen? How in the world could they do this? It happened with the Frankfurt School. That's why I talk about it so much. And the cultural Marxism. And because the Kabbalists who came over here with cultural Marxism, who fled Germany, their whole goal was to subvert the culture of the United States by destroying the nuclear family. That was the goal, and they did it. It took them 80 years, but they did it. And 90 years, and it started with that sexual revolution. They started it first in the 20s with the roaring 20s in the United States, but they didn't have proper birth control at that point. So what ended up happening is they ended up with a bunch of orphanages everywhere because they're much rather than babies out of wedlock. Then the culture quickly retracted and went back to the way it was supposed to be. And then they started it over again with, you know, Hugh Hefner and with Playboy and all the rest of this stuff in the 50s and the 60s. And that's how they started introducing birth control and condoms and the rest of it. And then people started realizing they could have free sex, but they could also have free disease everywhere too. And now look what they've done to us with the kill shot, with the clot shot. My friend who was at the car dealership that I've been going to for years, you know, he bragged about having 3 shots and all the boosters and all the rest of it. And I just shook my head. I said, okay. And within 6 months after I talked to him, after we did that, he had clots in his legs. And then he ended up with gangrene in his left foot. Then he had to go to strip the veins in his legs. And then he ended up having more infections. And he died a month ago. He's dead now.
Right.
He died back on Valentine's Day. And the sad part about it is, you know, I warned him not to take the shot. He laughed at me when I warned him not to take the shot and told me he's going to get in line for all the shots. And whenever another one came out, he's going to get another shot. And now he's dead within a year. And I see it over and over and over and over. I have another friend of mine who's got that, all those bumps and the skin rashes and all that kind of stuff now on her skin. But she got the shot because she wanted to go on vacation 2 years ago. And that's, by the way, it's a very common occurrence now with the skin diseases because it makes the skin age so fast. And all of this stuff is happening everywhere. And you see this and you go, what were they thinking? Well, they believed the lie. You know, the Bible says light has come into the world, but the world is before the darkness. And the CIA, William Casey said, yeah.
That's right.
And William Casey
believed the
lie. That's the light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. They've chosen the lie over the truth. And that's why so many people, I predict within 5 years, I don't think the Deagle Report will come to bed. I don't think it's going to happen within 3 years. I don't think that's going to happen 2 years. But I believe within 5 years, we'll have 100 million dead in the United States who are seriously ill. Within 5 years. Now,
I think we already have that many seriously ill.
Oh, I know. But I'm talking about dead now. You know, seriously ill. And the problem with it is that it's not going to change. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And especially for all the people that have pre-existing illnesses or diseases. I mean, especially people. I have another friend contacted me today, a great lady. And she contacted me, and I've known her for about, you know, a couple months now. And I've never really gone on a date with her, but I know her. And she basically had overcome cancer. I mean, serious cancer, lung cancer. And I told her, I talked to her as a friend, and I said, well, make sure you don't take the COVID shot. She goes, oh, I've already had all 3 of them.
I knew when she told me that
3 months ago she was going to die. And now she called me up today, and she was crying, basically, and said, can you please pray for me? I've got multiple lung cancer spots again. And I just, I told her, I said, there's some alternative thing you can do, natural things you can do to help increase your immune system. And she goes, no, I'm going to stay with my cancer doctor. You know, he got me to this point. She goes, I don't want to die, Ted.
Geez. She does not have a chance.
No, she says, I don't want to die. And I feel so bad for it. I prayed for her. And I thought to myself, this is just the beginning. The people that have had cancer.
It's just the beginning. Cancer is absolutely turned loose. These people who have it, they get one shot. That cancer will go wild, turbo cancer, whatever you want to call it. How many people do you know have died now from the shot, that you think have died from the shot?
Oh, for me personally, probably about a dozen that I know personally that have died directly from the shot or from remdesivir. Right. But I guarantee you, that's who I've known personally. Now, all the emails and letters that I get all the time, there'd be hundreds.
Yeah.
For people that have listened to the show who basically have relatives and loved ones who have died, hundreds. And that's just me personally. Now, I'm sure death is in the millions by now, millions. And
I've been pushing that. My estimation now, there are 30 to 40 million dead in this country. I know that sounds like 1 out of 10, but I would submit that over time, over 2 years, most people won't know a diminution of the population. If it's slow, 24 months worth, 1 out of 10 gone. I think we've got 30 to 40 million dead here. That's my thought. Or 30 to 40 million dead and or so disabled and so sickened and so wounded that they can't leave home. And they might as well be dead. They're dying. So that's my call.
I hate to say this, but I agree with you. And that's why I said it'd be 100 million
sick or
disabled within 5 years.
Horrible.
And the problem is they keep taking more and more boosters because they're so unbelievably stupid. It blows my mind. And the other day,
how many stories have you seen? I didn't mean to interrupt, but we have seen so many stories of people who say almost their last words, damn it, if I'd only taken that booster sooner, I'd be okay.
Remember, believe
in that crap.
Well, I know. You remember what Colin Powell said? You know, when he was dying, he goes, I thought the doggone shot was supposed to stop me from getting COVID if they put him on remdesivir and killed him. You know, he's a good friend of mine back in the 90s. He's a good man. I'd love to see him as president of the United States. And the problem we run into is this, you know, we have a situation where the people look at over 1,000 athletes are dead now. Over 1,000 athletes. That's a very small, the athletic proportion of our country is a very tiny minority. Over 1,000 of them are dead.
Is that here in the U.S., 1,000? Or are you talking about Europe?
It may be Europe and the United States, but I know there are over 1,000 top athletes.
I know they had 1,000 in Europe. I don't believe that we've had anywhere near that here, at least in terms of the top tier, which suggests to me that the pro football team owners, pro basketball team owners, Major League Baseball owners have given their shots en masse to the whole team. Hey, Tuesday at 5, you're getting your shots, all of you, so show up. And I think that they gave them placebos. That's too much money involved, Ted. They're not going to decimate their teams. This kid, Damar Hamlin, I personally believe that he's gone. I think we've got deep fake doubles and videos. I think they got a lookalike that they passed him off here and there. He died twice on the playing field and once more in the hospital. Three times he died. Three times. And they allegedly brought him back.
I agree with you, Jeff. It's a deep fake double or AI. I don't think
The ability. They can do it. It's not a problem.
Well, he didn't have any earners break for 15 minutes on that field. And I mean, that's the end of it. You're dead. And you know, and there's no way they brought him back. But they deepfake Doug. I mean, he was out of the hospital in a couple of weeks. No way possible. He dropped dead on the field. He was dead.
Three
dead
times.
Dead. Yep. And, so I don't believe
you can't,
they brought him
dear
back.
Dear friends, we can't trust our eyes anymore or our ears or what we know. We can't trust what we read. But we know now that we live in a digital age of technology, that it can do anything. They can show you anything they want, and it'll look 100% real. That's where we are.
And that's why, Jeff, I still question the Ukrainian war. Because, you know, Paul Craig Roberts came out this week and issued a big article and said, where are the Russian troops? He said they're not there. And he goes, it doesn't make any sense. Why is Russia not engaged?
Well, I read these analysts who are over there. Some of them can speak English. Some are subtitled. Russell Bentley is over there living in Donetsk. Russell will be on the program here when? 17th, Friday, a week from tomorrow. Russell will be here back again. So I've had Russell on. He's an American. He moved over there. He's from Texas, former military veteran from the U.S. He fought against the fascists, the Zelensky types, for years, and now he's retired, but he's over there. He's married. He's a Russian citizen. And we talk, and no, it's real. He doesn't approve of the way they're fighting the war. He doesn't tactically like it. It's a slow plod, and he doesn't like it. But that's what they're doing, except for this Wagner group, which is really incredible. From everything I see, they're moving, and they are the glue that's holding the Bakhmut siege in place right now. This is a private military organization. Call them mercenaries.
That's what Paul Craig Roberts said. He said it's pretty much private military. The Russia, the main army's not there. But then I have another friend of mine who says he has a friend of his in Russia, and all the people are over there hiding, all the young men, because they don't want to be drafted into the Ukrainian war. So in the Ukraine, and my friend from Ukraine told me that all the guys that are in Ukraine right now, one of his friends, he's hiding. He won't go out to be part of it because he don't want to be drafted into the Ukrainian war. He's in Ukraine because he don't want to be conscripted into it. And so, there's something.
I know
something.
Old men.
Something is going on over there. I know that for a fact. I just don't know to what level it is and how much we're being told and how much is really true. And that's what all I'm saying. But I know something is going on. I got that part of it. But the reality is that, we've got a group of people now that can control the media, like you said, Jeff, with the deep fakes and AI. They can make us believe anything they want to make us believe. They can't. They can make us believe that Project Bluebeam is happening and we're having an alien invasion right now. They can make us believe anything. And the sad part about it is, remember they did the beta test with War of the Worlds when they read that on the radio back in the 30s or the 40s.
That was 1939, Orson Welles.
And they did the beta test. They wanted to see what would happen.
That was exactly right. They can do it.
And they wanted to go in and see if they could trick the American population into believing there was a full-blown fear. And they did. And they got all the algorithms out of that, and they figured out what we could do, and they realized how stupid the American people were, that we had a Martian invasion, but nobody saw any spaceships. Because it happened in certain cities. They're talking about it as if it was a live event with no news breaks. And
now they can give us the spaceships. They can create them. They could show us whole wars being fought between ET ships and the American military and fighter jets and you name it. They could do anything. Look at Hollywood. Come on. CGI. It's all there.
Well, it's funny too, Jeff. I'm working on a show now. I'm going to be doing it in the next few weeks. It's called Angel Wars, the pre-Adamic race. What happened for the first 50,000 years BC? What happened? What happened? How do we end up with these ancient alien monuments everywhere? How did it happen? Right. And I've actually got some really, really good information that I'm going to be sharing with the audience, because the show's going to be called Angel Wars, the pre-Adamic race. And it's going to talk about how the earth was flooded before. During the Angel Wars, and when God's presence hovered over the spirit of the deep, the earth was without form. The earth was flooded once before to kill off all this Nephilim stuff that was on the planet from all of the fallen angels and all the satanic stuff. And then God started it all over again with Adam and Eve. And so I'm going to go into detail on that in a few weeks. And I think the audience will really, really like that, because it's going to go into the ancient alien stuff is what it's going to do. And because these spaceships we know are real. We know all this stuff's real. My goodness, we see them ourselves. I mean, I've not seen a close-up of one of these things, but I've seen the lights in the sky that do all kinds of crazy things that defies the law of gravity. Heck, I'm a pilot. Planes can't act like that, so I don't know what this stuff is. Some kind of interdimensional spaceship or whatever it is.
Right.
But
it's something. Well, some of it's ours, but most of it is not. The planet is co-inhabited.
Research that I've been doing say that these spaceships are remnants of the Angel Wars, Jeff. What's left of the fleet. And so I'm going to cover all that in a few weeks. It's going to be one of those, Outer Limits shows. And so what's crazy about this thing is, this something happened on this planet beforehand with all these ancient statues and monuments that have been basically put here somehow. And I'm going to go into detail on that. So I've got over 100 pages on it already, and I'm trying to.
Well, after you do it
down.
On your program, when you come on here, we can do it a second time if you want.
Oh, I'd love
anybody
to,
misses it.
I'd love to. It'll be fun. It'll be called Angel Wars, the pre-Adamic race, and it'll talk about it'll be ancient aliens. Basically, it'll be because we can't pretend like it wasn't real, because it happened. There's too many monuments to prove it was real. And then what happened?
All over the place.
And this is interesting. The entire planet was flooded, and then God separated the waters of the deep and built the mountains. And that's why even if you get on top of Mount Everest, it has seashells up there. Because it was once on the floor of the ocean, seashells on top of the mountains, and they have all these fossils up there.
Really, at the higher level elevations of Everest,
all of the major mountains, they all have seashells on them. They've all been found. Yep, and we're going to cover all that on the show. And so they have there's fossil seashells up there, which is where that come from. Well, that means that at one time that was on the seabed. And all of this stuff was rebuilt by God. And so a lot of these ancient monuments, they remained intact, but the half of them laying in ruins how they look. But you can see something was there, and they were huge. And that was all built by the ancient you call them the fallen angels, I guess you call them. A third of the angels fell with Lucifer, and that's like hundreds of millions of angels fell. You know, it was so many of them. They had basically gone through the entire universe. God had set them out. And what ended up happening is when they fell, you know, that's a lot of angels, and they were going to try to take over the Most High God and go into his dimension. And, of course, they can't do that because he's omnipresent. He saw what they were going to do. But we're going to cover all of this stuff on the show. It's going to be interesting for a lot of people. Now, a lot of the stuff I piece together, and a lot of it's going to, of course, I'm going to tell people this is my opinion or this is speculation, but this is what the scripture says, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be an interesting show as far as tying it all together with Christianity and the Bible. And I'm looking forward to doing it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's going to be a real, roller coaster ride for people who never thought that the spaceships were real. Right. And I'm going to explain to them that they are real and they are here. And Roswell is how we retro-engineered, you know, lasers. We retro-engineered night vision and retro-engineered closed circuits. All of that stuff, you know, came from Roswell. And if you read the book The Day After, you know, Roswell by Colonel Corso, he tells you all that. And he also talks about the weapon systems that we've developed from these spaceships and the anti-gravity technology that they have still. But I have been taught now and basically have learned, in my own opinion now, that the vast majority of these quote-unquote ships that are out there are all remnants of the ancient fallen angel fleet, period. That's what it is. And that's how we see them inside of our dimension all the time. And like you said, they're co-inhabiting this planet with us. They're under the ocean. Who knows what they are as far as in the caverns of the ocean, caverns of the earth. We don't know where they are, but we know they're here. And then we know they're in another dimension close to us.
Well, we have hundreds of human-built deep underground military bases, DUMB,
yes.
DUMBs.
That's correct.
Hundreds. And these are big, and they're all connected by maglev transit tunnels, coast to coast. It's a whole other world down there. And some of these people who have been involved with drilling the tunnels claim that with their big tunnel boring machines, they'll come across other tunnels that we didn't dig. They're old. They've been here a long time. So they got to kind of steer clear of those. But this planet is so much different than most people understand.
Go. The planet's not what we think it is. We've been lied to about everything.
No. Yes. Hmm? Yes. I completely agree. The sad thing is that the average rank and file, it's not their fault, but boy, they have never been dumber than they are now. The rank and file sheeple. They are just hopeless, helpless, and according to the controllers, useless. Useless eaters.
That's the kisses you're calling. That's right.
Yeah.
Brute soldiers.
They tell us in advance. They have. I don't know why, but they do.
And they have the help, of course, when the angels came back after the Earth was recreated, basically they were released here. I'll go into detail on that, too, as far as the fallen ones and why they were sent here. I'm going to go into detail on all of that stuff. And it's going to be an interesting show. And the point is this. Our God still reigns. He's the Most High God. He's the God that all of these entities listen to and have to obey. If he decides that they're going to obey, they have no choice. That's why when the demons were cast out with Jesus, and that one man that was possessed by the demons, they begged Jesus not to basically cast him into the abyss because they knew who he was. They knew he was the Son of God. He had complete and total authority over him. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in us as Christians, Jeff. And people don't understand the power and the authority they've been given by God through Christ. Uh-huh. Because through Christ, all things are held together. It says in the Bible that through him, all things are held together, and we need to understand that. And when he died on the cross, God himself had to step in, because according to the Bible history, the entire earth started shaking. We had earthquakes everywhere, and I personally believe if had he not intervened by God Almighty, by God the Father had not intervened, that the entire planet would have shaken itself to pieces and would have another asteroid belt. That's what I think would have happened had God had not intervened. But God did intervene and stopped it from happening. But the reality is that same power that raised him back from the dead resides in each and every one of us when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The problem is that's not being taught in Christianity. And that's why these Kabbalist Luciferians hate Christians so much, because they understand who and what we are. And that was because we have so much authority and power. And if we knew it and we took a hold of it and took advantage of what we have, what God gave us through Jesus, we could change is all of this stuff. And they know that. That's why they're scared of us. That's why they came after Christianity. That's why they came after white people. They don't want people talking about Jesus or talking about the power that we have and telling other people. They want the entire planet to be filthy, to be inverted, to be perverted, to be perverted. Basically sick. That's what they want. They want an Aleister Crowley world. That's what they want. Do what thou wilt. You know, they want everything to be sick and twisted because that's the way they want to bring it. That way they believe when that happens, they can bring in their Antichrist.
Right.
Because Lucifer will rule the planet that way. And I mean, this is the goal of these crappy people that are in the Middle East who want to build a third temple and all the rest of them, because that's what they want, because they're worshiping the state god. I mean, so when you understand who they are and what they are, you start to realize very, very quickly that this is not okay. And that Christians either wake up and quit their name it, claim it, blab it, grab it nonsense and understand who we are in Christ Jesus, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and stand firm in what we know and preach the truth. And that's the problem. They don't do that. They've been completely and totally taken over by the Johnson Amendment from the 50s. They're afraid to speak about anything political for fear of losing their 501(c) status. It's ridiculous.
The pendulum has swung far too much the other direction.
It has. My mom used to always say, if you give up, you lose. That's what she always said. And you know, she was right.
She's right.
You can't do that. You can't give up. I mean, we got to keep fighting the fight. I mean, we got to keep listening to the Jeff show, our show, and realize that, you know, we're not here telling you the truth. We're telling you what's going on. And you know, what's the worst thing they do to us? Kill us. Okay, whatever. You know, but the reality is that, you know, we have to continue to stand the fight and put on the full armor of God. No matter whatever happens, Jeff, we've got to stand our ground regardless of what they say or do. We've got to stand.
That's true. And they want us to sit down.
They do.
Sit down and just let us do it. We'll do it for
you.
That's
exactly.
Misdirection,
that's right.
Misinformation. You know that, just to go back full circle, I knew that dog situation was going to not work. That was bad. I'm sorry.
You told me it would go sideways, and you were right, Joe.
Jeez. Wow. It just went more sideways than I even thought. That's
me
crazy.
Too, me too. Yeah. I've never heard of something like this. I have now.
No.
You guys have.
No.
You heard the continuing saga of Ted Brower trying to, you know, find somebody who's basically willing to, you know, who's going to be a good person today. You guys know that's true.
All right. We're pulling for you. You know that. All right.
Thank you,
talk
friend.
Soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Try and get you on here in another 2 weeks, so come back a second time.
I'm looking forward to it, my friend. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Ted. Ted Brower. All right. We will be back in just a few. Hold on.